you wanted to give us a Better Health Radio show tip today?
When you say that you're back with us now, meaning that nothing we said just now went.
No! You were having a conversation while I was doing something else. Anyway, this is what we're going to do. We're going to give the public the Better Health Radio show tip, and then you can carry on with the conversation you just had with Brian for all of us to hear. How about that?
Sure. Wonderful. No problem.
All right. Take it away, Doc.
Yes. So today's tip actually fits in very well with what we are discussing here with Brian Payne, Acting Chief Nutrition Officer. It's about healthy lifestyle. The doctors and other healthcare professionals, they're asking us to exercise, make it a part of healthy living. Before you begin an exercise program, please make sure that you check in with your doctor and that he or she allows you to, lets you know that it's safe for you to exercise. Your doctor, along with other healthcare professionals such as nutritionists, physiotherapists, occupational therapists, they can all coordinate a unique program to help you achieve your health goals. Remember to warm up, remember to stretch before and after exercise. But I think the most important thing is that you start slowly and gradually increase your intensity over time. So this is this evening's Better Health Radio show tip.
Very well. Thank you, kindly, Doc. And before you go back to your conversation with Brian there, this evening, the Doc has as her guest, Brian Payne. One comment, quick question they ask. It's not related to your topic this evening, but I guess you can still answer. The person says, with regards to COVID, they're going to take the vaccination. They want to know if they should take the medication, I guess, at paracetamol, before or after they stick. What's better?
What happens is the way the vaccine works is that it stimulates your immune response. I do remember I was having a discussion with a pediatrician before vaccination of children. And, you know, we were talking about the fact that the children get so irritable after they get their vaccines because of the response to the vaccine. And most mothers and fathers would want to not have an irritable baby, so they would tend to dose the medication before. But actually, you do want to have the immune system responding, and medications such as paracetamol and the NSAIDs, they dampen the effect of the immune response. So I would say if you have the vaccine, and you can take the medication after, if you do develop any symptoms, because remember, it is individualized. Not everybody gets any of the symptoms. Some people breeze through it. Others thought they were run over by a bus.
Fair enough. So there you go. Your comment has been responded to, and suggestion is after. All right. That's one. And two, I've got a caller on the line. We'll take that caller and go back to your conversation with Brian. Fair?
Sure. Yes.
Good evening, caller.
Good evening. This is Anthony Hope calling. Dr. Boyce, good evening to your guest, is nutritionist Mr. Brian, and to Gregston. Mr. Payne and to Gregston. Now, the question I want to ask.
Good evening, sir.
Before you get on to the supplements, how important it is to let people know that you need to have a daily complete protein in your diet, and what is a complete protein, and what are the deficiencies and diseases caused by a lack of amino acids when you don't have a complete protein per day? And which types of food substances you can gain your complete proteins from? Because most times people are saying, yes, you can add vegetables together and get a complete protein, but the average person does not relate to being able to supplement using vegetables to achieve complete protein. While one egg a day, one lean piece of meat, you can get your complete protein, and that is where the cultural aspect of our nutrition goes.
So, Mr. Payne, that's all at you. Protein from vegetables, or is it protein from legumes? Let's clear that up.
I think the term that was used quite a bit there was complete. And I think the term complete really speaks to the amino acid profile of the food, whether it be a plant-based protein or whether it be a vegetable, whether it be a plant-based protein or whether it be an animal-based protein. Animal proteins are often described as complete proteins because they contain a full amino acid profile, whereas the plant-based proteins, different plant-based foods may only contain certain amino acids. So the idea of complete, therefore, in terms of at least plant-based proteins, you want to use a variety of plant-based foods to get the full amino acid complement. So I think that speaks to the idea of completeness. In terms of high protein foods, things like food from animals, whether it be things like meats, fish, poultry, eggs, dairy, these are generally described as high protein foods. Whereas things like peas and beans and nuts and other legumes, again, they are also high protein as well. But if you're going to get if you're going to have like a plant-based diet, for instance, you can still have an optimal protein intake, but the onus is on the person to eat a wide variety of things like fruits and vegetables and legumes to compensate for not having animal-based foods, which represents a concentrated source of protein. Because remember that muscle fibers from animals or fish or poultry, that is protein. But the protein content of things like vegetables and legumes, it wouldn't be as concentrated.
Now, the second question is in terms of absorbency rate, and this is before Dr. Boyce gets on to the supplement. Now, many people are not aware of the fact that you need to have that additional magnesium for appropriate absorption, and especially when you hit past 35 years old. So, I mean, these are things that need to be regularly put out on the media, and I'm not hearing them because we have new people born every day, and they need to be educated. So I was wondering if this wouldn't be an aspect of your area to put on some programs on letting people know of the adequateness of having that amount of magnesium for good absorption rate, and also for carbohydrates. You need to have that level of tyrosine, the amino acid tyrosine, to convert those carbohydrates to glycogen. And those are two things that I'm not hearing mentioned at all.
Now, I think the key thing, as I tell people in terms of, and again, I think I'll try to answer your question as best as possible to make sure the general public gets a deep understanding of what I'm saying. Again, balance is very important, but consuming a balanced diet, again, and one that is varied, you will tend to get all the essential vitamins and minerals, even things like magnesium that you speak about and things like the amino acids that you speak about. So consuming a balanced diet, it would generally address lots of these issues or prevent lots of these issues that I think you're speaking about. But again, the typical or the average Barbadian, their diet is not as balanced as it should be. And that is where you get the nutritional deficiencies developing. But again, as I said earlier, the key thing about balance is eating a wide variety of foods. However, in many cases, the typical Barbadian, they're only going to consume some kind of high carbohydrate staple, whether it be rice or potato or bread, and they would consume some kind of animal protein, whether it be some kind of meat or some kind of fish. So therefore, the idea of balance is lost on many persons.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right, sir. Thank you kindly for your questions.
And good work.
Take care, Mr. Hope.
Yeah, we will try. Thanks so much, Opie. Doc, before you run away and get back to your conversation with Brian, I think we've got another caller on the line. Good evening. Are you still there, sir?
Yes, please. How are you?
Yes, I'm not too bad at all. The doctor can hear you, and so can Mr. Payne, please.
Okay, I have two questions. One that you will certainly be able to answer, and one that I don't know. The first one, how important is walnuts is to the body, how beneficial they are to the body as far as nutrition is concerned. And the second one is, I have noticed the foods that make you sick and kill you are cheap. The ones that keep you healthy are very, very expensive. For example, simple example, the ordinary mint, so let's say for 20 cents. The sugar-free that the diabetic can use is sell for 40 and 50 cents. And the mere fact that it's sugar-free, it suggests to me that you're putting less ingredients, which suggests to me that it should be cheaper. It's a fact.
I like the logic.
It's true. Yeah. So that's about it for me. Y'all stay safe and travel safely when you're leaving.
Thank you so much, sir. You take care.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I can address the second question, because we had alluded to it before, where Mr. Payne and I, we were talking about the fact that there needs to be change in policy, things from the top coming down, so that the automatic choice for the average person is the healthier choice. And persons will gravitate, because money is a factor, most persons will gravitate to what they can afford, and that tends to be the foods which tend to have a lesser nutritional value. Some people have taken the approach that I am not going to spend $20,000 in a coffin, I'm going to spend that $20,000 in healthy food, or, well, I don't even want to say healthier food, making healthier food choices over time. And there are many people out there who are going to say that it's just an excuse to buy whatever you want to buy, but it is a fact. Cost is a concern. I remember once having heard a discussion that Professor Henry Fraser had spoken about, and he said, with regards to things being expensive, you buy what's in season. Cucumbers are in season. You can eat pickle, slice cucumber the next day. You can have cucumber juice, because, you know, that's what's in season at this point in time. Another time when it might be carrots in season, for example, local carrots in season. Don't know if carrots are seasonal, but you get the point. So you purchase those things, you can actually, thanks, Gretston. You purchase those things and you can preserve them. You can put them in your freezer and so on for another time. So that's an option to trying to make a healthier choice, using things when they are in season. And hopefully that will do something for your budget, and you'll be able to spend a little more on getting more quality foods. And what was the first thing that he had said?
Nuts.
Thing, you know, that I'm
raw
not
nuts.
Going to remember.
Something to do with raw nuts, if it's beneficial to the human.
Was it raw nuts or walnuts? And I wasn't sure.
Walnuts.
He said walnuts? You're sure he said walnuts? I thought he said raw nuts.
I heard walnuts.
All right, well, I give in. Well, I'll tell you what, answer both questions, raw nuts and walnuts.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Again, nuts. Are nuts generally, whether it be almonds or peanuts or cashews or, again, walnuts, it represent the food group legumes, and they represent a high source of protein. Nuts generally contain lots of good fats, and these fats are primarily mono and polyunsaturated. Walnuts will contain some omega-3 fats. But the good thing about, again, things like nuts and seeds in general, they're generally very high in protein, they're high in good fats, and they're very high in fiber and other micronutrients, things like magnesium that was spoken about earlier. So the idea of having nuts as a part of your diet, I mean, it's something that every person should do. However, portion size is also very important. Very, very important. In terms of whether you should have nuts, whether when they're raw or whether they're baked or, you know, however they're processed, I often tell people avoid nuts which may be salted. And the obvious reason being the amount of sodium that they will contain. Even things like honey roasted nuts or dry roasted nuts, which may contain lots of sodium and lots of sugar, you want to avoid those varieties. So whether it be baked or whether it be raw, I mean, again, you're fine to consume those. But salted, honey roasted, dry roasted, and other ways that the manufacturers package them to make them more attractive, you would generally chocolate covered.
I was going to say that one.
So you would generally want to avoid those incarnations of nuts, for lack of a better term.
Mm. You see, you just broke my heart there, because I like honey roasted nuts. I love those. Anyhow, you're correct. He was asking. He was asking about walnuts. So you were correct in the beginning. Walnuts. Carry on, Doc.
Yes, so my next question to you is, now 14 minutes in Barbados and across the Eastern Caribbean, and we are beginning to take that last bend in our discussion with Mr. Brian Payne, Acting Chief Nutrition Officer at the Ministry of Health and Wellness. And what I want to ask you is about these diet fads, cleanses, low carb, high protein, no carb. What is your take as a nutritionist on these sorts of diets?
I think most of these diet. Okay, let me touch on the term cleanse first. I think we come from a. I think as Barbadians, we come from a culture where we where our grandparents or great grandparents assumed that, whether it be once a week or once every month, that we would need to cleanse or detox. As a medical practitioner, Dr. Boyce, I think you would appreciate that once our kidneys and our liver are functioning efficiently, they can do a fine job of detoxing and cleansing. So, I mean, are those things important? Short answer, in my opinion, most likely not. As long as you consume lots of dietary fiber, drink lots of fluids, and your internal organs are functioning properly, there's no real need for this, this so-called cleanse or detox. However, if you've been eating poorly, the key thing you want to do is, one, is stop eating poorly and change your diet to one which reflects a health, which reflects you consuming more healthy options. Lots of fruits, lots of veg, lots of high fiber foods, for instance. And by doing that, that would, I hate to use the word detox, but that would generally realign your system. Again, is there any need for these diet teas or these diet drinks? Short answer, I would say no. We must understand that lots of these things, whether it be teas or drinks or even tablets we would consume, is that they may cause things like diarrhea, for instance. And that in itself can definitely disrupt a person's electrolyte balance and because of the fluid loss. And also, it can affect your normal flow within your digestive system. And that in itself can be problematic. In terms of the fat dieting, low carb, no carb, high protein, low protein, no protein. Again, they can be described as fad diets, and fad in this or yo-yo diets in the sense that they don't reflect an option which people can maintain over the long term. So when I think about health or healthy eating, I have a lifestyle approach. I think we at the Nutrition Center and the Ministry of Health, we generally have and wellness, we generally have this lifestyle approach to good health. You do physical activity that you can maintain over your life course, and you eat in a way that you can maintain over your life course. Because typical person, they will go on a diet, and often these diets are so extreme, or this they can be extreme in terms of restriction, they can be extreme in terms of expense. So they go on these programs or these diets, and they can only maintain them for a month, 2 months, maybe even a week. So therefore, these diets often they don't reflect a realistic situation for a person to adhere to in the long term. So a person may go on a so-called fad diet, and let's say they lose 20 pounds in 1 month. But after the month, because the diet is so restrictive, they can't maintain it. So definitely the 20 pounds will come back and will bring some more. You know, so that in itself is problematic as well. So people are generally told to avoid these so-called fad diets. If a person has a genuine nutrition issue or a health issue, they may be told to adhere to a specific diet, one which may reduce the carbohydrate intake, for instance, or one which may reduce the intake of protein that they will consume. So if there's a general health issue, persons may need to speak to a professional. And by professional, I don't mean speak to your aunt or your brother and get some kind of strange diet. But again, speak to a professional to advise them accordingly. Again, I give you that example as well too. The idea of supplementation, as we touched on earlier, people assume that for some reason they're not getting enough of a particular nutrient, whether it be magnesium, whether it be iron, whether it be some kind of vitamin. So people assume that, but the idea is that there's often the case where a person may over-supplement. And over-supplementation can be just as dangerous as under-supplementation or a typical deficiency. So that's why I often tell people to avoid megadose vitamins. All the term megadose basically means is that you want to avoid vitamins which have a very high daily value intake for a particular nutrient or mineral, vitamin or mineral.
Okay, so we are in this pandemic, and somebody is going to ask, is there a special diet needed for COVID-19?
And the short answer would be no. Mm-hmm. It really comes down to balance, having a metric balance in your diet, and of course, being physically active. And again, the whole idea of a person having a healthy immune system, of course, diet and physical activity are important. But things like keeping your stress levels down, that is also very important to prevent your immune system from being compromised in some way. So, I mean, again, the Ministry of Health, Nutrition Center, National Nutrition Center, we look at these things, you know, from a holistic perspective. And again, I'm sure as you would know, Dr. Boyce, persons who will survive best in this pandemic are persons who adhere to the rules. Social distancing, avoid going to events or putting yourself in situations where you can actually compromise your health, you know? So, I mean, it doesn't make sense if you're taking your vitamins, you're eating well, you're being physically active, but then you find yourself liming and drinking excessively in crowds because you're going to expose yourself to all the harms, you know? So I tell people you need to look at things in a holistic manner, not only this narrow vision where we need to take vitamins, we need to exercise, we need to eat well. I mean, these things are important. But again, we need to look at it holistically and adhere to the rules as they're given, or adhere to the guidelines as they're given by the professionals.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you, Brian. And one of the things that I believe is important is where our mindsets may be. We spoke about the fad diets, and yes, they're going to work. But if the reason for your overeating has not been addressed, if whatever emotional problems you solve by eating, for example, you get upset with the child and then you go and you eat half tub of ice cream. Clearly, that shows that I don't eat ice cream.
Possibly.
Yes. But you need to address those things from a mental health perspective as well. So those persons who know that they're emotional eaters, under this climate, this is something that you really have to pay attention to. Be mindful of what you eat. And our children who are at home, I say to my children as often as I can, if you were at school, you would not be eating at this time. So there's no need for you to be standing in front of the fridge and opening my fridge 20 times a day when they're at home. So we want our listeners to understand that you have to be mindful. You have to be intentional if you want to change your lifestyle. So as we wind down again, seeing that finish line in view, what do you want our listeners to remember, to keep close to their hearts from our conversation here this evening?
I think the key things, shameless plug, the key thing I would tell persons, look out for the activities for the month from the National Nutrition Center, Ministry of Health and Wellness. Look out for the activities, look out for the information that we're gonna submit or provide through various forms of media. And I think more importantly though, I think this idea of working from home or studying from home, it has created a bit of a new dynamic within the Barbadian sector, within the Barbadian population. And the idea that because you're home, that you find yourself constantly grazing, I think grazing is a very good word to use, is something that you should generally avoid. Parents, I'm a parent myself, with young children at home, the key thing is that, you know, if you know that your child eats lots of snacks, the key thing is don't keep them at home. Because if they're not there, then the idea is that, again, they're not there to be consumed. But I think people need to be especially cautious being at home for such extended periods of time. And the tendency, because again, something in many cases you have not a whole lot to do. And sometimes the default thing is to find something to eat. And that is really what we really want to avoid, especially if the things that you would have at home aren't necessarily the most healthful foods or beverages.
And another thing that I'm going to stick my neck out and make a comment on is our propensity, or the fact that we default to fast food here in this country. When we were on strict lockdown, I am certain that persons were still eating every day. And we noticed that once the fast food restaurants, and not only the commercial ones, but the roadside vendors as well, that once they reopened, that it seems as though persons have forgotten how to cook. So Mr. Payne and I are not going to come here on national radio and say to you that you can't ever have fast food again. But I think it is moderation. Moderation, because these foods are usually high in fats. I sound like the nutritionist now. They're usually prepared in not the healthiest of ways. Notice I said healthiest in terms they're usually fried and there's lots of refined products there as well. So we have to be mindful about how often we access these places to feed ourselves. Yes, the economy needs to turn, yes, but we don't want the economy to turn with our rates of diabetes and hypertension climbing and our names are on the WHO list of world's sickest countries and so on and so forth. So for the sake of our nation, let's continue to do these things in moderation, in moderation.
Indeed. And again, I think, again, during the lockdown, I think lots of people were cooking more. And I think the whole idea of cooking, it gives you, and by extension, farming as well, to whether you have a kitchen garden or whether you have something more on a commercial scale. The idea of preparing your own meals and knowing where your meals, knowing where your food comes from, is one that gives you a deeper appreciation for food. And people who generally prepare their meals or they generally grow their own food, they tend to eat better and they tend to live more healthily.
And the last thing I want you to comment on, Brian, would be bread. Yes. Let's have
you seem to be touching you seem to be touching a lot of people today. First the fast foods and no bread. Go ahead, Brian.
The key thing about bread is that, again, portion size is very important, whether it be a refined white flour variety or whether it be even be like a multi-grain whole wheat type. I think the default thing that I want people to think of is that if you're going to have some kind of bread or biscuits, for instance, the key thing is that you would want it to be some kind of whole grain or multigrain. And that really speaks to the fiber content and it really speaks to the micronutrient content, where the ones which are more whole grain or multigrain, they will have higher amounts of vitamins and minerals compared to the white flour-based ones. But the key thing in terms of bread and things like biscuits, the key thing is that you want to have a strict portion size. For instance, does it make sense that you're going to buy whole wheat bread or multigrain bread in preference to white bread, but you're still going to have
6 slices of bread?
Half of loaf. Doesn't make sense. So portion size is very important as well, to in addition to the fiber content and micronutrient content.
Yes. Brian, I want to say a very, very big thank you to you for taking the time out to come and speak to us about all things nutrition. Surely we do want to wish you and the rest of your staff members, and we say good evening to the staff members of the nutrition unit over there at the Ministry of Health and Wellness. You guys are doing a wonderful job in some trying circumstances with limited resources. So thank you very much for the effort that you put in and continue to stay safe. Brian alluded to the protocols again. It's saddening that we still have persons who refuse to maintain that physical distance and are still gathering and so on. We don't want to have another problem like we had before. We're trying to get things under control to return to some degree of normalcy. So please stay 6 feet from the person ahead and behind you. Wash your hands with soap and water if soap and water is not available, and alcohol-based hand sanitizer, at least 60% alcohol. Please wear your face coverings and wear them correctly, not on your wrist or forehead or chin, please. And continue to stay safe, everybody. And thanks again, Brian. Gregston?
Yes, please.
Thank you.
Thanks,
You're
Brian. Today's edition of the Better Health Radio Show, we had nutritionist Mr. Brian Payne as the guest of Dr. Renee Boyce, who was your presenter, and next week she'll be around for another edition of the Better Health Radio Show. We'll see if she comes around tomorrow evening for the No Name Game Show. She missed it last week. Somebody tells me she was afraid of the questions, but she says she's an avid player of game shows, so she loves game shows, and she's a bright young lady, so she says if she can make it tomorrow evening at 9, we're going to prove her differently, I'm quite sure. So, Doc, she goes like, what? Doc, we will see you and hear you, God's willing, next week, Sunday. Thanks again for this evening. Brian, you take care as well. Have a good evening, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
All right. That's the Better Health Radio Show there for you.